My mom made me go to church. My mom made me go to church. I'm sure none of you understand that feeling. But my mom made me go to church. She was a Methodist. We were in the Methodist church. It was an interesting church because all the classrooms were underneath and the sanctuary was on the second floor. It's hot up there. And we'd sit there in the heat thinking, when is this guy ever going to get done? No real love for the place. My father was a construction worker. You know, went to church Christmas, right? Maybe some other times, but that was about it. It was my mom that really got us to go at all. And I didn't like it. I didn't want to go. I wasn't into it. And there came a day, how many of you remember telephones where there were two parts of them? You know, a part that sat on the desk or on the wall, and then there was a cord. Kids, just never mind. How many of the rest of you remember it had a cord and there was part you held to your head? Big old thing. You still remember those? All right, see? And how many of you remember the office version of those? They were always what color? Black or beige, right? And they had a row of buttons at the bottom, remember? You could actually transfer to like five whole people, right? Yeah? And then there was one on there that was a different color. One of those buttons down there was red. Do you remember that? The hold button. That was so cool. Excuse me, let me put you on hold. Right? I had one of those phones in my spiritual life. And when I'd pick it up, God was on the other line. And it didn't matter which button I pushed, he was always there. Except when I pushed the red one. That's right. He would go away. So I decided I was pretty much done. I wanted to make sure he was still there on the line, you know? So sometimes I'd push the button, the red button, and then I'd wait a little while, you know, a few weeks. And then I'd push the other one and see if he was still there. He was always there. So I said, this is very cool. So I pushed the red button and I hung up on God. Not a safe course of action, you can guess. God had every reason to say, oh, really? Let's just see about that. Isn't it amazing to you how patient God is with us? How good and how loving he is, even when we are just out of our minds doing stuff like that. And I walked away from God in my early teens. And I did all kinds of terrible things. Like teenagers with fathers with construction backgrounds tend to do, you know? Crazy stuff. It was during that time I was actually here in Florida for 4 days. I won a contest and came down here to Disney World when it was like brand new. And it only had one place, Magic Kingdom, and that was it. And it was called Disney World, the whole thing, you know. But I wasn't interested so much in Disney World. Instead, it was a time to be away from my parents, and I found someone who would buy me some Boone's Farm. And when I got back home, my mom was saying, honey, you look terrible. Oh, yeah, we were really busy seeing stuff. That was what I was doing. Unbelievable how I could be so out of my mind, literally. And there I was, though. And so things went from bad to worse. And as I got a little bit older, up to about the age of 17, my world started collapsing on me. I don't have time to tell you that whole part. And it's not important, because what is important is Jesus Christ in this story. And so my world started collapsing, and I stayed home a whole lot, because to go outside was very dangerous. Yet, there was a lady who lived near me who was a Baptist lady. And she said, "Would you come to church with me?" No. I'm not ready to pick up the phone. But as the days went by, she kept asking me, and I began to think more seriously about how my life was collapsing around me. And I decided, you know, she's a friend of the family, lives nearby. I'll go to help her, because, see, the deal was, is as she brought somebody, she would get points to win a big family Bible. So I said, "Do I have to listen if I come?" I'd never been in a Baptist church, see, so I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Especially with a Baptist evangelist, this guy was good. So she said, "No, you don't have to listen." And so I didn't. I came for the first several times, and I literally laid down on the back pew and went to sleep. Really. But they kept allowing me, for whatever reason, to come to that church. Good people. And there came a point where I'd slept about enough, you know? You can only sleep so long, because this guy had a mic that was really good. Whew. Wow. And he was talking about this beast. Now, mind you, this was the 1970s. He was talking about this beast from Revelation that was a computer in Switzerland that numbered every person in the world. They finally had a computer big enough to number everybody. And so this was the whole thing. And I remember I seriously started waking up when he started screaming into the microphone, 666. And I went, because I'd heard about it. I didn't know anything about it, but I'd heard about it. And my hand trembled over that phone. Should I pick it back up? And I said to myself, I will not pick up this phone because I'm scared to death. If I'm going to pick this phone up, it's going to be because I'm making an about face and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ from here on in. That's it. And when they sang "Just As I Am," I picked up the phone. Isn't it awesome how God works? Whew. And so that day in a Baptist church, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I never, ever looked back. I wonder how frightening it was for Paul to be going down the road thinking he's doing God's will. Very important point. A distinction between Paul and I, for sure. Because Paul was certain he was doing God's will. I was certain I was not. Okay? I knew for sure where I was headed should I die. I knew that. I was just hoping the line didn't get cut while I still had God on hold. It was a precarious place to be. Paul, thinking he's doing God's will, is suddenly, and I love the word, arrested, especially after last night. You know, that dog, I'm telling you, he had 2-inch, well, probably not two, they were 3-inch teeth. Whew. It was serious. He was arrested on the road to thinking he was following God. I was arrested on the road going away from God. It doesn't matter which road we're on when we're arrested. The question is, how do we respond when Jesus gets our number? Pick up the story with me in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Then Saul, verse 1, Acts chapter 9, verse 1, then Saul, still breathing out threats and, wait, Pastor, you just said he was trying to do God's will, didn't you? Didn't you say he was thinking he was doing what God wanted him to do? How could he be doing this? And Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. How breathing out threats and murder and thinking you're doing God's will, is that ever possible? Yeah, after all, that's what the priests who murdered Jesus thought, wasn't it? And if I recall correctly, there's something Jesus said, wasn't it, Mr. Religious Liberty, something about when they kill you, they'll think they're serving God? That's still going to happen more. And here he is doing this. And what's more is God still thought he was worth a look. God still thought it wasn't time to cut the cord, to cut the line on Saul. God still had mercy on Saul. Praise his name. And praise God, he still has mercy on us too, huh? And so here he comes looking to the high priest. He asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, verse 2, so that if he found any, I'm good right now, but I'm going to come to it in just a second. So that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, this guy was non-prejudicial. Didn't matter. He was going to haul off anybody. He might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, it feels like suddenly, but the Lord had been working with him, hadn't he? It feels like suddenly, but already he had been witnessed to by Stephen, hadn't he? It felt like suddenly when I heard just as I am, but God had already been working in my life. God is working in your life too. God worked in the lives of those. Where are they? Where are my girls from the day? There's one. Where are the rest? Here's one. Where's my other one? Right back there. Of course, with the baby. The Lord worked in your lives, didn't he? And it might have seemed suddenly to you in some ways, but the Lord had been slowly putting pieces into place. Who said you had to work at the hospital where she worked? You know? Who said she had to work there? Huh? There you go. And so that's how the Lord works. Behind the scenes, sometimes slowly, he works these things up and then bam, he calls you up. Hey, I thought this thing was on hold. And he's on the line. Then suddenly, a light shone around him from heaven. Verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Huh? What? I thought I was doing good things. Brothers and sisters, sometimes when we think we're following God, we could be mistaken. You know that word. out of the mouth of babes. It's awesome. Thank you. Because see, we're real reluctant to say it. We just don't want to be honest with ourselves. You know, me, mistaken? Surely you jest. But they know. They know. And they don't mind saying it to you either, you know? That's great. And so Saul heard this. And verse 5, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, God revealing himself to someone who is unworthy." Get that picture. Jesus revealing himself to me. Unworthy. It's huge. And if you think about it, he's done that in your life too. And sometimes he does it in the stillness. And sometimes he does it with a blinding light on the road to Damascus. Verse 6. And so he, Paul, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" It is almost impossible for us to comprehend God's power in the human heart. We think about miracles of giving sight, like Paul will receive here in a few days when he gets to Damascus. We think about miracles of raising the dead. But brothers and sisters, you have seen here today, right there, the greatest miracle God has ever performed. The miracle of changing hearts. The miracle of taking someone like me, heading in the totally wrong direction, life closing up on me, and changing me into his servant. It boggles my mind. How could I be so blessed? And then more blessed, he gets me a cool family like you. It just is so amazing. How does God do these things? How does that change take place in the heart? Because right there, you don't see it. You can't hear it. You can't put your finger on it. You can't get some scientific test tube or some big machine like I'm all too familiar with this week and find it, but it happened right there in that verse. A change in Paul's life. Huge change. From verse 1, breathing threats and murder, to verse 6, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" That is so incomprehensible a change. The only way to know it is to do it. The only way to feel it is to experience it. The only way to understand it is to have it happen in your life. And brothers and sisters, today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day to have this happen. Today is the day, especially when the devil has tried so hard to make sure it didn't happen today. Today is the day. Amen. This is the day that you ask this same question. And we'll talk over the next few weeks about the details that go along with that. How do I know what God wants me to do? How do I follow God? How do I do this question? What is it that God wants me to do? We'll talk about that over the next few weeks. But all of that, all of how that happens, all of what needs to happen, all of that is useless unless it first happens right here. until you are arrested on your road to Damascus this day and decide that that change can happen in your life, until you decide to pick up that phone and take that hold button off, that rest of it will be useless to you. It'll be totally useless to you. Because knowing what God wants, or even how He wants you to do it, is not going to happen for you. It'll make no sense. It'll not be right. It'll not help you. It'll not help the kingdom. It'll not do any of that unless you first allow God to work in your personal heart of hearts. I know I've said it over and over and over, but unless you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, nothing else is right. That's the first thing you do. That golden ribbon. Y'all still have those golden ribbons? I'll have to make some more for you. Because that's really where it starts. And it doesn't matter what was before. The threats, the murders, the stuff that goes on, the things that were there, let it go. Let them go. You heard our baptismal candidates right here today renounce the world. What does that tell you? That they've had this change in their hearts. Renounce the world. Put away its sin. That tells you there's been that change of heart. That's what I'm talking about today. For you to renew your baptismal vows, if you will, to pick up the phone, to have that arresting experience, to come back to the Lord. And so today is simply that, a call to you to make a difference in your life, to make a change. I'd like to take a moment now for you to be silent, to be still. We don't often give ourselves that time in this world. We always got to have a TV, a radio, the internet, something going on. We got to have somebody with us. We got to be talking. We got to do. We got to be. We got to go. Right now, I want you to take a moment to clear out everything else and talk with God. Let's bow our heads. Our Father and our God, we're going to take just a moment here because you are taking this moment to arrest us. And so, Lord, we take this moment to connect with you. Jesus, we thank you for revealing yourself to us. Even though we weren't really worth it, we weren't worthy. We didn't do anything to deserve your attention. Yet, you have revealed yourself to us. Praise your name. And Lord, having gotten this vision this morning of you breaking into our lives suddenly with a bright light, arresting us on the roads that we all travel, whatever they are. We turn to you just now. And the thought that fills our minds, the thought that we will be considering going forward, the thought for this week, we ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Father, that we might be in sincerity each morning as we bend our knee to you, that we might again ask and keep on asking this week, Lord, what do you want me to do? Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to meet with you. In Jesus' name.